today on Real Radio.
God warned them and warned them and warned them until they said, get out of here. Get your Ten Commandments out of our schools. Get your Ten Commandments out of our classroom. No more prayer in our city. No more Bibles. So God says, he gets, you know, after a while, he gets the message. And he says, okay then, go it alone.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 2, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. God sent the Old Testament prophet Isaiah to urge the divided nation of Israel to repent from their sins and return to Him. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet because he foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days. In Part 1 from Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah delivers his message to the people of Israel in a poem that he shares in the form of a parable. The poem is about a vineyard, which represents the nation of Israel. And God made this vineyard beautiful, plentiful, and safe. The Lord had expectations of a good harvest, but the wealthy, like a thief, hoarded the harvest, leaving no room for others in the land. Now in part two, we'll see God's judgment of desolation and continue to look more into the sins that the people of Israel committed and the judgments that God placed upon them. Today on day three of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Isaiah warns us against being wise in our own eyes, where no other opinions matter, and we take away goodness and justice for our own gain. This kind of behavior angers the Lord and causes him to raise his hand in judgment. As a result, the people of Israel are carried away by their enemies that they might repent and turn from their evil ways. And now, continuing his lesson called Being Right with God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Under the idea or concept or teaching, go do what you want and then just ask for forgiveness. Now, those of you who are thinking right now, those of you with full dendrite capacity, think that through for a moment. Do you think the creator God of the universe is that dumb? Do you think he can be duped? Hey, God, watch this. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And that's what you're doing. You're trying to play a game with him. This is serious business. God's not like that. That's not God. The amazing thing is that all the while they were doing this, Isaiah is exposing their sinful life, but they're justifying their wrong, and all the while they're talking about God. They could speak Christianese, but not live it. And by the way, in doing this is actually, I don't know if you realize this or not, you might want to write this down in your notes. This verse, the verse 19, this is the breaking of the commandment of God where it says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Did you know that? That's the definition of what they're doing. They said they knew God. You guys know that breaking of that commandment is not cussing. Did you know that? I hope you know that. It's not cussing. Cussing is not good either. Don't get me wrong. But to use the Lord's name in vain does not mean you cuss. It means this. Listen, I know the Lord. I belong to him. And I'm a Christian. And then I get up and I go and live a non-Christian life. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. The word to take the Lord's name in vain, the word means to pick up and carry his name. As believers, we carry his name everywhere we go as believers. And that's why the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, for example, to walk worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? It means to carry his name everywhere you go. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. People should recognize us as Christians. Listen, they should recognize us as Christians. We need to make sure that they recognize us as Christians, not as being a goofball, not as being ugly and mean, or not as being something else. but being a Christian. Now listen, what that means is that we live like Jesus lived. You see, I can't do that. Join the club. That's why the Holy Spirit has to do it through us. The best thing is when he does it, you'll be the first to know. You'll be humbled by his work in your life, and other people around you will start being affected by his work through your life. That's amazing. Listen, it also means that the world is not going to love you for following Jesus. They're not going to like you for that. But you love them, and they know it. Number four, the woe of deception, verse 20. The woe of deception. So watch this. Covetousness, unsatisfied, of course, leads to intoxication because you're not happy. That life that's starting to numb leads to carelessness. And when you're careless with your life, making poor decisions, you're prone to deception. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The word woe to those who call, the word call is to, listen to this, it's amazing, don't miss it. You want to talk about relevance? Watch this. The word means to reassign, reappoint, to remake. The actual statement means this: woe to those who reassign evil for good and good for evil. Redefine. Change. Darkness for light. Light for darkness. By the way, one scholar I read, Govet, out of in the 1800s, said that he, right here in verse 20 is exactly when he dissected this verse right here. It's exactly what they did to Jesus at his arrest and his trial. They embraced evil for good, good for evil. They wanted darkness for light rather than light for dark. You see, they switched the. We don't want Jesus. We want Barabbas. And he lays this out. It's fascinating. Deception will do that to you. You can't see anything right. Can't see anything. Listen, there's people out there that are absolute committed enemies of your faith. But they don't wake up in the morning and eat Christians for breakfast. They actually believe they're doing the right thing. Did you know that? The people that are out to silence you or to rob you of your faith, they believe they're doing the right thing. You say, how did they get like that? By deception. Honestly, by deception. A pathology that leads to deception. That's very serious. This verse means that mankind will come to an age, hello, we're in it, Israel was doing it then, that they'll attempt to rewrite the moral code. That's the meaning of the word. Look up any commentary, they'll tell you Isaiah's speaking about the moral code of a culture. You say, Jack, you got to be making that up. I mean, that's like out of today's newspaper analysis or something, or some commentator on TV. Nope, I'm not making it up. It means that they went about to rewrite the moral code of the culture. What has always been good? No, that's bad. What has always been bad? No, that's good. Does it sound familiar? This is serious. This is so serious. What does this mean to us as Americans in the 21st century? Let's pull back from the forest for a moment so we can see the trees. This sounds like I'm talking about the American culture. What does it mean? It means we're heading down the exact same path that Israel did. What happened? Israel's arch enemies, God released his hand of protection from them, he says, and their very notorious enemies came and destroyed them. The very ones that Israel thought they would never get to us because God protects us. And then they got sloppy in their love with God and their life with God and their existence with God. And God warned them and warned them and warned them until they said, get out of here. Get your Ten Commandments out of our schools. Get your Ten Commandments out of our classroom. No more prayer in our city. No more Bibles. So God says, he gets, you know, after a while, he gets the message. And he says, okay then, go it alone. And the moment he does that, he's turned a nation over to themselves, and their greatest enemy will come. And God is outside the stadium. He's not allowed in. This is history, ladies and gentlemen. And we are actually making our history now as we live. It will someday be recorded. What's going to happen? We have to be very careful that we're not deceived. Isaiah warns the culture regarding its absence of God. Adultery is now called an affair. Homosexuality is gay. Abortion is a woman's choice. Pornography is freedom of expression. Virginity is now called dysfunctionalism. I didn't know that. Wow. Faith is now for the backward. Good is now for the oppressed, or good is oppression. What's biblical is now hate speech. And marriage now is a license for perversion. Wow. Karl Barth, the great theologian of yesteryear, once encountered a man, I'm reading from a book right now, quoting from that, on a university campus here in the United States, who said, the man said to Karl Barth, "I do not believe there is a God, and I can prove it. If God is God, let him strike me dead in the next 10 seconds. To that, Karl Barth said to the man, "Do you think you can exhaust the patience of God in just 10 seconds? Isn't that a great answer? Isaac Asimov, you ever heard of him? He says, "I am an atheist, out and out. It took me a long time to say it. I've been an atheist for years and years, but somehow I felt it was intellectually unrespectable to say one was an atheist because it assumed knowledge that one didn't have. Somehow, it was better to say one was a humanist or an agnostic. I finally decided that I am a creature of emotion as well as reason. Emotionally, I'm an atheist. I don't have the evidence to prove that God doesn't exist, but I so strongly suspect that he doesn't that I don't want to waste my time." And I was sad to read this one today. I like Richard Branson. Do you know who he is? The billionaire, entrepreneur, industrialist from England. He said, reflecting on the fact that as his balloon was severely damaged, it looked as if Branson would die. But he wrote in his diary from his wounded craft, quote, "I do not believe in God." Can you imagine writing that? You're about to die. "I do not believe in God. But as I sat there in the damaged capsule, hopelessly vulnerable to the slightest shift in weather or mechanical fault, I could not believe my eyes." What's he mean? You say, what does he mean? I don't know. What an interesting thing to say. Do you hear both these men arguing that God could exist? Maybe he does exist, but I don't have the time for that. Amazing. And then finally, the woe of pride, verse 21, and it's carried out here quickly. We're going to finish this. The woe of pride. He says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." What does that mean? Woe to people who can't learn anything. Why? Because they believe they know everything. That's what that means. Romans chapter 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Think of that. He's announcing, in Romans 1, the fool is announcing that God, no. Psalm 14 as well. Self-aggrandizement, self-elevation. Listen to this. Woe of pride. Have you heard the term narcissistic or a narcissist? Have you heard that before? Do you know who Narcissus was? Yeah. Do we have a picture of him? Can we show the picture of him? This is him. That's him. Did you know? Do you know the story? All of you in high school, you've already learned this. You're bored with this already. But he looked into a pool of water and he saw himself. And he fell in love with himself. He was so struck with the beauty of himself. And he said, am I me? And he was so in love with himself, narcissist was, that no other opinions mattered but only his. He only exalted himself. There was no room in his universe in Greek mythology for anyone else but him. He became completely happy with himself. He was all about him. Me, myself, and I was Narcissus' t-shirt he wore, I'm sure, after he took a look at himself. It's all about me. And Israel began to think, it's all about me. We want to be very careful about that because you know what? That leads to what's called megalomania. It's a real medical diagnosis. A megalomaniac is a person who is absolutely believing that the center of the universe is their existence. It's a sickness. It's very scary. And verse 22 to 25 is this, woe of injustice. The nation was in trouble with God because of injustice. Woe to mighty men at drinking wine. Woe to men. He's speaking about the same ones here. You see two woes, but it's this one woe upon these guys. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Who, verse 23, justify the wicked for a bribe. These are corrupt judges, corrupt authorities. And take away justice from the righteous man. This is serious. The word means that those who are in authority can be bought off for them for self-gain, and they'll twist the laws for their own interest. Corrupt judges twisting the law for their own agenda, for their own. Unjust judges. The Bible is full of God condemning unjust judges. Terrifying. Therefore, verse 24, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger, listen how sad this is. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You say, what does that mean? That closing statement is this. God is saying his hand, he's holding out his hand of judgment. The nation's being judged, and God wants to take his hand away from it. He wants to stop judging, but they won't repent. They won't turn. And so against God's heart, he's holding his hand out and the judgment's falling and he's just waiting to hear from someone so he can pull his hand back and no one cries out. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. And in verses 26 to 30, we don't need to go through it much. You can read it later. It's simply the declaration, the bad guys are coming, and they're going to come. The Babylonians are going to be en route. They're going to take Judah. Nebuchadnezzar, during Daniel's day, brought that. The Assyrians are going to invade the north. It actually happened in history, ladies and gentlemen. This is a historical fact. And throughout history, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, we're all done. Throughout history, Israel has gone through holocausts, plural. They're God's chosen people. That's his chosen land. But when they would forget God and reject him, he wasn't being evil to them. He wasn't being mean to them. He pulled back his umbrella, as it were, of protection. And all those who hated them came against them. Is Israel not surrounded today? Imagine what would happen to their enemies if Israel today started crying out to the Lord. He would show his hand. But what about you tonight? Do you know that Jesus Christ is your blood covering from the wrath of God against sin? Jesus is that salvation. I hope you've made him your Lord and Savior. I know these are strong words tonight. I'd rather have you be steaming and going home and wrestling with God to have him win that wrestle, that match, than to continue on without a warning. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And Lord, this is too close to home. We look at these things. And God, we pray that you'd send among your people, the church, your people here in America, Christians, revival. That we'd repent of our sins and call out to you. That we would not be hard-hearted. That we would not be stubborn. That we wouldn't have to wait for a catastrophe to get to church or to cry out to you. That we would make seeking you the priority of our lives. Heavenly Father, please, have mercy. And to anyone tonight who might be calling out to you, hear their cry tonight. For a man or a woman tonight, hear a boy or a girl saying, Jesus, forgive me and rescue me from my deserved judgment. Bring me into the land of the living. If that's you tonight, friend, tell him now in your own words that you're coming to him. Let's close in our song of worship to him now.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that the Lord is number one in your life, so that in darkness or distress, his light can shine on you and give you peace. Being Right with God, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you've made a decision to follow Christ or you've got questions about what salvation means, we encourage you to visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once you're at the homepage, look for the tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Once you're there, you'll find guidance and a more clear understanding of the decision you made to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And please, let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by emailing us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We're here to help you grow spiritually, and the love that Jesus is offering to you is free, no matter who or where you are or what you might have done. Once again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, a lot of you have visited our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you may not know that Pastor Jack also has the Real Life app available for your mobile device and on the Apple TV for fourth generation and newer. Download the free app, and you'll have immediate on-the-go access to Pastor Jack's Real Life TV programs, daily radio broadcasts, that's us by the way, videos of his weekly teachings and devotionals, and specific tools and resources to help you know God with a deeper understanding. You can also connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook, YouTube, and so much more. Our hope is that all the resources that are available on the Real Life app will be an incredible asset to your Christian life. You can download the Real Life app at the App Store, on the Android Market, and now on Windows Phone Store. And of course, our website also provides a way you can download the app when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.